rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with everyone in our city. Please guide this meeting this evening. Please be with the local, state, and federal officials as they navigate through the coronavirus to do what's best for the nation and the state and our city. Please be with our military. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Daniel?
Here.
Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca? You did inform us you would not be here. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We
will move to item 5, citizens' participation. This evening we have 7 individuals signed up to speak. The first one is Mr. Anthony Jetter at 125 Landis. The subject is on the agenda. Mr. Jetter, did you want to speak now or did you want to wait for that agenda item? I'm sorry? Wait, okay. All right, so we will come back to you with that agenda item. The next one is Mr. John Vallier at 101 Hedwig. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Please take the podium. State your name for our record.
Juan Valle. Okay. I'm speaking about the safety of the streets along Jenke and Hedwig. They're in very bad shape, as y'all probably already know, and I'm sure I'm not the only complaint about the streets here in the city itself, but I know that the emergency vehicles come up and down, and before when the fire department and the ambulance was here, they were still in that bad of shape, but it's a big safety concern. And it's not only that too, it's the construction of the middle school. The construction people have been using it as like their personal thoroughfare highway and making it worse with the construction equipment, tractor trailers, excavators, and whatnot, and it's just making it worse.
Okay, thank you. We're unfortunately, since it's not on the agenda, we can't correspond back and forth with you. However, you did have a neighbor that actually spoke to that same matter, and so our city staff will continue to look into those vehicles using that, because that is not a route that they're supposed to be using. And as far as the streets, it's something that we have that council, this council, the next council, are looking at to repair all the streets, but unfortunately it depends on the monetary, so we're always looking for grants for those streets as well.
I understand. And there's also potholes that need to be addressed as well, but it's the same potholes that keep getting filled. But like I said, it doesn't help that the construction equipment's coming through there and really destroying the potholes that the city comes through and repairs.
So, Monique, if you can have Mike look at that and see what we can do to sustain that, and also possibly bring in Mr. Lipscomb to that conversation. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next one is Mr. Sid Sanders Sr. Regarding coronavirus.
Your Honor, council members, Monday night I was watching an XFL football game and how they had those little blocks of information that scrolled along the bottom. One of them was virus. It said that the city of Milan was under quarantine, Milan, Italy. And I went and Googled later and found out that the state of Colorado is in a state of emergency. New York has got problems. Before I came here tonight, I tried it again, found out in Europe, there's over 30,000 documented cases of coronavirus. Over 1,200 are dead. A little over 1,500 has survived. I have not heard yet of anything concerning Kirby's, what are we going to do if it hits us? I was listening to BJ earlier tonight, and she Googled something on her phone. They have canceled a couple of rodeos because of coronavirus in Houston and Austin. I would propose that the city form a study group of some kind, inviting medical professionals in, because this is a medical problem, getting our counselor in, because if we decide to do something, can we legally do it, or will it invade privacy or not? But we have a lot of places in Kirby where there is a public gathering, schools, churches, restaurants. You got the Turner Club, you got VFW, you got the senior center. What can be done to help prevent? We're not going to stop it, but we can hopefully help eliminate or decrease its spread from one to another. And this is what I was thinking, if you could form a study group and even get the restaurant owners in it, because that is also a place where people gather. And the way utensils and plates and stuff are handled could easily be spread. I don't think Kirby citizens would like for Kirby to be caught flat-footed if there is no plan of action to do something prior to us getting hit with the coronavirus. So if something could be done before it gets here, I think everybody would appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I can actually, I'll just briefly address that, and then in my comments I'll be addressing that. I sat on a conference call this afternoon with Governor Abbott, Dr. John Helderstedt, with the Commissioner Department of State Health Services, and also Chief Nim Kidd, who is the Texas Division of Emergency Management. And I have 8 pages worth of documentation or notes that I took, so I'll be addressing some of those questions that you just had during my comments this evening.
You think a study group might be formed here?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to talk about that right now, but I just wanted to let you know that I'll be saying that in my comments. I'll let you know.
Thinking about it other than me, then?
Absolutely. Bexar County Emergency Management, the city is paying close attention to that, but I'll give you some more information during my comments.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You know, Ma'am Kidd is from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I graduated with him.
Back to Stephen Little League.
Yeah. All right. The next one is Mr. Stephen Pittman at 3715 Autumn regarding 7M. Did you want to speak now or on that item?
Yes. Yeah, Stephen Pittman, 3715 Autumn Lane. I was just wondering about this, not just me, several people, but what is the dire need for this criminal background investigation for city volunteers?
Pedophiles.
Do city employees, do they have to qualify the same way as volunteers? I assume they do from the employment application. And like I said, what's the reason and the cause for this? Is this too much to do? Do we really need to do this? Do we need the expense? I heard $100 to $130 per person. And whatever that fee is, it's gonna go up every year. And they said they're gonna rescreen volunteers every year. Do we rescreen city employees every year? And the number of volunteers we have now, what's the minimum and maximum we're getting? And I hear a lot of people saying they probably just won't volunteer if they have to do all that. So I just wanted that to be food for thought in your conversation tonight.
All right, thank you. BJ?
I will speak after y'all.
Okay. Ms. Estrella Martinez at 4507 Ackerman?
Yes.
If you can just state your name and the reason for your concern.
Yes, my name's Estrella Martinez, and I have a local business here. Just on the corner of Ackerman and Old Seguin Road, the little barber shop on the corner. And it's been brought to my attention that the corner lot beside me, they're going to be developing some property there, and I had a few issues with that. In the past, I had received letters anytime there was going to be any changes as far as commercial, that I was invited to the city council meetings to, discuss that. There would be some changes, like when y'all did the making the change from the pet.
Like the zoning change?
Yeah. And I'm wondering why I wasn't, this was, hasn't been discussed about this new business coming in.
Is that something that she can contact Patty or you?
You can give us a call, folks. Be happy to share with you what they're putting here.
Well, I've already spoke with her, with Patty. And like I said, I still have some issues with that and what's going in there as far as the size and what it's going to be. It's like they're going to put two storage containers and a food truck. I don't really see that complementing, the area more. It's going to look more like an eyesore. I don't see it, going to be something that's going to improve the city. As far as food, we already have two Mexican restaurants there on the corner, and also a little food truck. I don't think we need any more food on that corner. And I don't think those restaurants would, want any more food on that corner. And I don't think the lot's big enough. Two railroad storage containers, that's quite a bit of room. And that lot's not that big. From what I was told, they have to be 15 feet from each side of the street, 5 feet from my property line, 5 feet from the other business property line. That doesn't leave them a whole lot of room. And I'm just wondering, why wasn't this discussed? Why is it like it's going in? It's a done deal.
Do you want to address that as far as the fact that it's not a zoning change?
Right. So in the past, if you received some letters, it had to do with either a variance request or mm-hmm. a zoning change, because we're required to send notices about those. But if something is going into a property and it's zoned appropriately, then no letters go out about that. So whatever goes on that property, you would have to follow all the codes and ordinances in the development process.
Right. So they've already met all the requirements, because I had spoke with code compliance about this issue, and she told me that she didn't think it was big enough and what they were putting in that it wasn't. And then I went and spoke with the city secretary, and she told me different. And then I got back with Megan again, and she still said that she heard it didn't pass. And since a week, I haven't heard from anybody, so I'm still trying to figure out what's going on.
And I can update you on the project status, because we can't really talk about the project status right now, because it's not on the agenda.
Well, how does it get on the agenda? This is my first city council meeting, because there's more issues that I'd like to address before, this is a done deal, because that's a really busy intersection. For this being a small community and there's traffic coming in all four directions, as well as pulling out of the businesses, that's not going to help the traffic issue.
If you want to get with the 3 minutes is up, so.
I'm sorry. I've never been to this.
It's okay, but unfortunately, we can't give you all the information that you're asking back and forth. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is, if you can call the city staff and give them all your concerns, including the conversations that you had with Officer Thompson,
mm-hmm.
so that we can see about getting something on the agenda that we can actually talk about.
Right, because like I said, there's a lot more issues that we need to address as far as.
And then that way it's a action item that can actually be, that's tangible, that can actually be spoken about, that can address those concerns if city staff can't meet what you're looking for.
Okay, awesome.
And then after she speaks with you, if you can just let council know what that came out. That way we can determine what needs to be put on the agenda. All right, thank you.
And when it comes back to the agenda, I can come back and speak again?
Absolutely, yes,
awesome.
Ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, the next one is, or the last one is Miss Nancy Pena at 2924 Ackerman Road. And I'm not sure if it's on the agenda, so I didn't know if you want. Oh, so do you want, if you'd like, if you want, when we get to that agenda item, if you'd like to speak about your project,
okay.
And then that way we can discuss it with you then?
Okay.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we will come back to Mr. Jetter and to Miss Pena when we get to that item.
Your Honor, can I make one more comment about what I was talking about before?
No.
So much for that.
All right, item 6A, consideration of an action on minutes. Regular, I will entertain a motion for the regular meeting minutes of February 27th, 2020.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the regular meeting minutes of February 27th of 2020.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept the meeting minutes of February 27th, 2020. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Abstain.
All right, that's four, correct? All right, so the minutes pass with two abstentions, four yeses. All right, item 7A, update, discussion, and possible action on Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project. We have Mike here.
How y'all doing, City Council? Hello. All right. Just give me one second. All right. The flyers went out today for Phase 5, alerting the 5300 block there of Ben Zingelman that we're ready to begin Phase 5. They satisfied all the requirements of Phase 4, and that phase is complete. And I personally witnessed the flyers being given out, so that's definitely done. July 15th is the tentative end date. And I did do a walkthrough on Friday, and they did complete all the items on the punch list, minus the sprinkler head that they finished.
So what does Phase 5 consist of? What, from what point to what point?
It's from Crest to James Lavelle.
Okay.
Yeah, going down there. So that's, hopefully they should move a little quicker on it because there's not as many driveways going down that way. So, you know,
can y'all hear him?
No. Hopefully that area should go a little quicker because there's not so many driveways going down that direction. And so as I said, you know, once again, stay on top of them and make sure that they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing and where they're supposed to be at. Y'all had any other questions?
So you're saying right there at Crest, probably about 20 feet, that last little bit where it's not even, that's accepted?
No, sir. It was left down on purpose. It's left down on purpose so that whenever they do complete that intersection, they can seamlessly finish that intersection. They have to leave it a little bit down. Yes, sir.
And on Fred Hayes, that little problem they have up there, the store, the dirt and stuff and the outhouse and all that's going to be taken care of?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, they'll move off of there.
And so are they still only supposed to work in the scope of 8 to 5 or 7 to 5?
8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
And the only reason I say that is because several weeks ago they were actually working after 5 o'clock, actually until around 6:30 or 7. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I know that is because I was actually driving in the city with my son. And so they actually had, in the dark of night, actually had one of their big tractors with another truck behind it with their flashers on, trying to navigate them through the street, through Ben Zingelman, down Happiness, back to Gaiety. So I just think that if they're going to do that, obviously residents are going to know and they need to actually have the permission from the city. I mean, if they can get it done and the residents are okay with it, I'm perfectly content with them actually finishing a job, but at the same time, not at the expense of the safety of the, you know, their residents.
Can't have that going on. If you, if anybody does see that, please notify us. You can call Public Works Office. I don't know if anybody's 210-666-0653. My extension is 111. And anybody, please notify. You can call dispatch, local dispatch, and tell them, and they'll let us know. You can come to City Hall and notify them, and they will let us know, and then we will in turn let them know.
Oh. And as far as the Gaiety lot itself, what are they planning on doing with all of the overflow? Are they still removing the base after that piece of the job, instead of rather than storing it like they have been doing?
About all the base that's there on the Gaiety lot, actually, I'll check on that for
because
you, ma'am.
They were supposed to have only kept the base there mm-hmm. for the project, for the phase that they were in, and anything that was unnecessary, they were supposed to remove because it's still overgrown, you know, because the mounds just continue to increase with the grass overflowing. So I was just wondering if they were staying with that that direction that the previous director had given them, that was given to them by council, that they were only to keep there what was necessary.
All right, I'll get back with you on that information quick as I can.
And so how are they gonna handle the man covers that are on that stretch?
Talking about that one that's
correct.
Sticking way up.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually looking at the plans before we got here. I was trying to see if I could see anywhere in there where that was discussed, but from what I could tell from a brief look at it, I didn't see anything extra on there talking about the raising or the lowering of the manhole. If that isn't done, you know, by them, or if it isn't part of the contract, I mean, that's something I would feel perfectly comfortable doing. I've done a whole bunch of manholes up and down, back and forth, so. I mean,
I'm
that would be something
sure
I could
pretty sure it's
fix.
Part of the contract, though. I mean, the whole street was there, but my just concern is that they're not leaving it open while they're working on it, because, I mean, presumably we're going to have a detour. Do we know what detour route it's going to be since it's that stretch?
Yeah, the engineers have laid out the detour route for each phase, so they'll be pulled back so we can advertise what that.
Yeah, and that way at least residents, because that are going back towards Gordon Cooper and Allen Bean, they'll know that if there's somebody coming through their area, especially if there's large trucks, that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, having it posted online might be something worthwhile. So if somebody sees a truck going down Happiness or more than one, yeah, I can call and say, hey, I don't
mm-hmm.
see this guy.
And then possibly if we can get flyers or something and leave them at the different places, possibly if the senior center will let that information there too, then people can pick that up in the event that base is affected by that. All right, so July 15th.
Yes, ma'am.
And the letters were out, so they're supposed to start when?
They, according to their latest plan, the begin date was the 9th.
It's
already
yeah.
a few days out of date.
They can't start Monday. They can't start before Monday. Correct. The flyers just went out today. They have to give a 48-hour notice, and they can't work on the weekend, so it would be next Monday.
Okay. So starting Monday and they're supposed to be done July 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
And are they having any issues with subcontractors?
This phase is supposed to be finished.
Sorry, phase five. Yes, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, phase five from Crest to James Lavelle. Yes. And so subcontractors are showing up and they're not having issues with them?
Yeah, for
not being
phase,
there?
Yeah, they're not having any issues right now.
Okay.
None that we're told about.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions on Ben Zingelman? All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Item 7B, discussion of possible action on appointing a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. There is currently one vacancy. I don't have any applications in front of me. All right, if anybody is interested in being appointed to the Beautification Recycle Committee, There is currently one vacancy, so please fill out an application and turn that into City Hall. Item 7C, discussion and possible action to accept the resignation of Stephen Pittman as alternate member on the Building and Standards Commission. Per Section 11.03 of the City Charter, Mr. Pittman submitted the enclosed resignation letter. He is resigning for the Buildings and Standards Commission effective immediately. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the resignation of Stephen Pittman as alternate member of the Building and Standards Commission.
Second.
Have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the resignation of Stephen Pittman as an alternate member on the Buildings and Standards Commission. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, item 7D, discussion and possible action to accept the resignation of Thomas Hernandez as member of the Buildings and Standards Commission, Planning and Zoning, and Charter Review Commission. Again, per Section 11.03 of the City Charter, Mr. Hernandez is no longer eligible to serve on the boards of commissions because he is running for office.
I make a motion to accept Mr. Hernandez's resignation.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the resignation of Thomas Hernandez from Buildings and Standards, Planning and Zoning, and Charter Review. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 7E, discussion and possible action to appoint a member to the Planning and Zoning Commission. There is currently now one vacancy. I do not have any applications in front of me. I would like to add that if anybody is interested in serving on Planning and Zoning, to please turn in an application to be interest to be appointed. The Planning and Zoning Commission has a bunch of topics ahead of them, and it's crucial that they have a quorum, and with only five members, it is difficult sometimes for them to meet a quorum, so a lot of the items that definitely have to go to that commission get pushed back. So if anybody is interested, please fill out an application and turn that in.
We should have one by tomorrow. We should have one by tomorrow.
Oh, gotcha. Well, unfortunately, they can't be voted on in our next meeting. So.
I know.
All right, item 7F, discussion and possible action to appoint a member to the Charter Review Commission. There is currently one vacancy, and we do have an application for that. It is Jody Flynn at 5619 Old Seguin Road.
Mayor, I make a motion to accept Mrs. Flynn's application. Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept the appointment of Jody Flynn to as a member of the Charter Review Commission. Is there any discussion on that? Have we checked just to make sure that there's no issues that she can't serve? Yes, all right. All right, will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. And when is their next meeting? April's? March 19th, okay. So that is seven now, with the resignation of Mr. Hernandez and the appointment of Ms. Flynn, that's seven. And if anybody is interested in giving input for the charter, please attend those meetings. That is where you can put in your suggestions, ideas to that committee. All right, item 7G, discussion and possible action on appointing one member and up to three alternate members to the Buildings and Standards Commission. There is currently one vacancy and three alternate vacancies. I don't have any applications, do y'all? All right, if anybody is interested in serving on our Buildings and Standards Commission, please fill out an application and turn it in to our city staff for consideration of appointment. Item 7H, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. There's currently one vacancy, and Ms. Norma says that she doesn't have anyone. So if anybody is interested in serving on our Kirby Senior Center Board, please contact the senior staff and turn an application with them. Discussion and possible action on resolution number discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2020-716, a resolution authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from the program year 2020 allocation of Bexar County's Community Development Block Grant CDBG program, the Hickory Hill Phase 2. Number 2. I will read this resolution. A resolution authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from the program year 2020 allocation of Bexar County Community Development Block Grant CDBG program. Whereas the City of Kirby is a participating city in Bexar County's Community Development Block Grant program, and whereas City Council has directed staff to pursue funding to reconstruct a second phase of Hickory Hill Drive, Bexar County funding request is $432,845. The city cash match would be $125,969 for an improvement total cost of $558,814. Whereas the city approves the use of local funding services general funds in the amount of $125,969 to be used as the city's cash match for the activities in this application, and whereas if awarded, a survey will be conducted to determine if the area meets the low to moderate income objectives as prescribed by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. I will ask Monique just to give a background on this part.
Then they have the second pot of funding, which is the larger pot of funding, which are for infrastructure projects. strongly consider funding this project for Kirby, because again, we did not get funded last year. Typically, it's usually just staff there, you know, speaking to it, which is not as strong as when the residents show up and say, hey, we need this money to fix our streets. We, of all the cities that they fund in the county, we probably have the greatest need for street improvements. So we'll get that out so you all can please try to show up and support. If you can't attend, you can always write a letter to our commissioner, which is Tommy Calvary, Precinct 4. And that goes into the record when they get ready to consider the funds.
Is there, as far as letters, is there a blanket letter that maybe we can just, you know, type up and develop so that if residents do want to sign that, that it's something, you know, that they can, we can put on and then they can print out and sign it if they cannot be there? The city manager and I did have a conversation with Commissioner Calvert, and we did voice our discouragement that we were not considered for that grant when there were several other that were. So we're hoping this year that the city will be awarded this grant so that we can make much needed repairs to at least the other half of Hickory Hill and make it all one whole street. So, but keep looking for information for regarding those public hearings. And like I said, if we can draft a letter that somebody can just print out, and then that way everybody will feel that they have a voice that way.
What was the date of that meeting?
We don't know the hearing date yet. Just applications are due April 9th, and then after they get them, they'll send us a notice of the hearing.
And somehow the city had gotten, had been removed from those email blasts that actually, and that had our staff on there so that they would know when all of this happened. So the city staff has been added back to those email blasts like they should be. So now we're, Monique and her staff were contacting Bexar County pretty much weekly to try to find out when those dates were so that we wouldn't miss them. So now all emails are coming back as they should. Yes. Yeah.
What is it, what did they say the engineering was on that?
So let's break down just
okay. Part.
So 39,400 is the engineering piece that they estimate for the project. And that's so they can do the survey and the design of the project and then manage the bid process. And with this particular project, I'm glad you brought that up, we are trying to move toward when we are doing funding for our own projects, like with Ackerman, which is an MPO project, and other projects going forward, we're trying to do competitive bidding so that we can score them and not have to take a low bid. But with a grant-funded project like Ben Zingelman or like any CDBG project like this one, you do have to take the low bid because of
the low response.
The lowest responsive bid.
Yeah.
Right. So either you accept that or you reject all bids and you re-advertise. So in this case, we will do that, but we actually, this project was handled really well with R.L. Jones.
Yes, just out of curiosity, if we have another situation where someone has modified, their approach of their driveway like we had before with that other couple, do they take that into consideration, or is it done as uniform?
Yeah, when they're doing the design, they are trying to make them uniform per ADA requirements, and so typically that's what they do. I think what we'll have to do this time is ask our engineers to take into consideration each of those and speak with the property owners and see if we need to add that into the contract. It would be at, you know, the city's additional expense, but they would have to build that into the design in advance.
Well, the reason I ask it, if I'm correct, I think there's one or two boat pads and approaches, and it's been modified. And I really don't want to have the citizens go through that again. I'd rather that be taken into consideration up front, and so that, you know, it's done. Instead, we don't have to go back and redo something. Please.
And similar to the flyers that are being handed out for Ben Zingelman, is there a way that the city can let those residents on Hickory Hill know that there's a potential that that street's going to be repaired? Because again, like we talk about, unless somebody's either attending this meeting, unless somebody's at this meeting that knows someone on Hickory Hill, unless that information somehow gets to them, they're not going to have a clue that how crucial it is that, hey, this is, you know, we were trying again, and your input is very much needed and wanted, especially with what Councilmember Grant just said about special circumstances where somebody has improved their area, and then we get to the point to where it gets reconstructed. I hope we get to that point.
We
get to that point, and then, you know, somebody is upset because it wasn't explained to them, or they weren't asked about it, or it wasn't brought to their attention.
Yeah, there's the same thing Mike brought up about the driveways. There's, that I know of, the property right behind me, and I think there's two more. They're double lotted. Mm-hmm. And those double lots have two driveways. Are they gonna go ahead and put the two driveways back in? You know. Not only that, but I don't know if they're gonna do a survey, because when it floods to Hickory Hill real bad. So I don't know if they gonna survey the area for the flood, because I mean, they're almost on the floodplain right there, so.
You're on the sea part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because my neighbor was concerned, hey, if they're going to fix the street, or they're going to put my two driveway back in.
Yeah. Yeah, more driveway extensions, mailboxes, and bushes.
Oh.
You know, on our radar of things that, you know, really have to take those into account.
Right.
Because when they're designing these projects, they are truly building them to spec, and if something's in the right of way,
it's gone.
It's coming out. So. Yep.
Are they going to bolt down our mailboxes, the ones they put in, put the deals that hold them in place? Mine kind of wiggles.
We're on Hickory Hill.
Huh?
We're on Hickory Hill.
I moved to Ben Zingelman there
momentarily. We're done with Ben Zingelman. We're on Hickory Hill.
All right. Well, I just threw that in there.
All right. So I will entertain a motion on this resolution.
If I don't have to read the whole thing, I make a motion to accept it.
You just have to read the resolution number.
I don't have it.
Make a motion that we accept R-2020-716 and we move forward with it.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Salazar, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept resolution number R-2020-716, a resolution authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from the program year 2020 allocation of Bexar County's Community Development Block Grant CDBG program, Hickory Hill Phase 2. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Resolution R-2020-716 is passed. Hopefully we will get that. All right, we are moving to item 7J, discussion and possible action on interlocal corporation contract with the Department of Public Safety for the failure to appear program and authorizing the municipal court judge to sign the contract. Did he come in right in
time? Boy, it's the man of the hour. Hit right on the nose.
The Department of Public Safety wants us to do this, and Chief Boyce wants us to do this because he wants to be able to collect the revenue from failure to appear citations. This is styled the way it is, Mayor, because in the body of this agreement, it says that the governing body has to approve it, but that it needs to be signed on behalf of the municipal court, which is why it's styled that the governing body approves the city entering into the agreement, or the municipal court entering into the agreement, but it would be signed by the municipal judge as the presiding officer for the court.
So that means we get more than $7.50 on a fine?
I respectfully decline to answer.
With all the failures to appear, that whole amount.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's no doubt we need it. Well, I make a motion we accept that.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the action on interlocal cooperation contract with the Department of Public Safety for the failure to appear program and authorizing the municipal court judge to sign the contract. Chief Boyce.
I would endorse the council authorizing the judge to sign that. It has proven a very effective program, not just in Kirby, but most of the surrounding areas as well. So.
All right, is there further discussion or any questions on that? All right, will our city secretary please call roll?
Excuse me, Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mark. All right, we will move to item K. Discussion and possible action on an ordinance number O-2020-874. An ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the city of Kirby, Texas to grant specific use permit 2019-014 for the use of property at 5863 Benzingelman Road, Kirby, Texas for the purpose of development of an apartment complex with approximately 70 apartment units. This would be the first reading. An ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the city of Kirby, Texas to grant specific use permit 2019-014 for use of the property at 5863 Benzingelman Road, Kirby, Texas for the purpose of development of an apartment complex with approximately 70 apartment units. Whereas David Monich has applied for a specific use permit for the property located at 5863 Benzingelman Road, being the property covered by Bear Appraisal District Property ID 1255795 for the purpose of development of an apartment complex with approximately 70 apartment units. And whereas the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Kirby has recommended to the City Council that the specific use permit not be granted for the use of the property for the purpose of development of an apartment complex with approximately 70 apartment units. And whereas the City Council of the City of Kirby has conducted a public hearing on the requested specific use permit and finds that it is appropriate to grant a specific use permit for use of the property for the purpose of development of an apartment complex with approximately 70 apartment units.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept ordinance number O-2020-874, amending the zoning ordinance of the city of Kirby, Texas to grant specific use permit number 2019-014 for the use of the property at 5863 Benzingelman Road, Kirby, Texas.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept ordinance number O-2020-874, amending the zoning ordinance of the city of Kirby to grant specific use permit 2019-014 for the use of the property at 5863 Benzingelman Road. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layton?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Agenda item L, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2020-875, an ordinance repealing section 36.08 of the Code of Ordinances and adopting a new section 36.08 of the Code of Ordinances to establish a fee schedule for fines on pleas of guilty or nolo contendere, whatever that word, prior to trial. This is the first reading.
Spanish class.
Mark, do you want to, I know that you prepared the ordinance, but do you want to speak on that?
Well, this is a request, as I understand it, from Ms. Vernon, from our municipal judge, who felt that the current language, which said the judge is supposed to set fines for people who plead guilty or plead nolo contendere to a speeding or other traffic offense, the judge felt that the city council ought to set the fee. And that's really because these are fees which are, or fines, which are paid by a offender without appearing before the judge. So our court staff needs to have a fee schedule to be able to tell someone who got a ticket for one of the things on the fee schedule that the fee, the fine is X dollars, and that they can pay it in advance, not have to appear in court, and it's taken care of. And so there isn't really discretion, whereas when a defendant appears before the municipal judge, although there is a fee schedule, the judge has the discretion to consider external factors based upon the circumstances and not necessarily assess exactly the fee on the fee schedule. In this case, it's a convenience for the defendant, it's a convenience for the city, and it's the receipt of revenue that the city obviously has budgeted for in its planning. So I wrote the text of the ordinance, and I believe Ms. Vernon has put in your packets the actual fee schedule that was developed with our municipal court clerk.
I will entertain a motion.
Okay, I make a motion we accept an ordinance repealing section 36.08 of the Code of Ordinances, adopting a new section 36.08 of the Code of Ordinances to establish a fee schedule for fines of pleas of guilty or nolo contendere prior to the trial.
I second that.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept ordinance number O-2020-875, an ordinance repealing section 36.08 of the Code of Ordinances and adopting a new section 36.08 of the Code of Ordinances to establish a fee schedule for fines on pleas of guilty or nolo contendere prior to trial.
You did good.
Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2020-875 passes for the first reading. Item M, discussion and possible action on the requirements and application for volunteering at city events and facilities. BJ, did you want to?
I want to wait until anything else.
I'm actually going to ask, the only reason I'm asking, I'm actually going to ask for a motion to table since Sylvia, Councilmember Abadak isn't here and this was her agenda item. So I didn't know if you wanted to still speak before.
I'll wait till the next time.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I'll speak before everybody's present.
All right, thank you.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to table this agenda item to the next meeting when Councilmember Apodaca is present.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to table the discussion and possible action on the requirements for the application for volunteering at city events and facilities. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, so we will, providing Councilmember Abadaka is here, we will be bringing that up at our next council meeting.
Can I ask one question, or is it too late?
It's too late. We can't discuss it now. I apologize.
That's okay. I should just follow.
But if you want to put it in, then that way we'll have that answer for you when it comes back. Like if you was. I said, if you want to let me know or send that information to one of us or all of us, then at least we'll have that information for the next time.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Item N, discussion and possible action on 2429 Ackerman Road. This would be a possible executive session consultation pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071 with our attorney. I believe we have Ms. Nancy Pena, who is the property owner, and also Mr. Jetter, who wants to speak on this. Would you like her to go first, or? If you, you're the property owner, correct? So if you want to speak on this matter, and then that way, go ahead. You can take, if you'd like to speak on this matter, just so that you can tell us what the project is and what the intent is, and then Mr. Jetter can go off of that information.
Yes, it's just an insurance agency. That's what I want to bring in, since I am at another location, but I want to bring it in closer to home. I do not live in Kirby, but I do want to put the insurance agency close by. But before I bought the property, I asked y'all, and y'all said it, everything was okay. So I went ahead and bought the property, and then before bringing in the mobile office, because y'all did let me, I did let y'all know it was gonna be a mobile office, y'all said it was okay. But before bringing it in, y'all said it wasn't okay. And then finally, we got code compliance, and I think Mike and Moy that helped us. And we went out there to the property, and everything was okay to bring in. So then we brought the mobile office in. But now, I think you're saying that I need to comply. I think the zone is wrong, but I don't know how to get that zoning corrected. Because I think y'all zoned it commercial zone 2. I need commercial zone 1. I do qualify for the commercial zone 1.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jetter, do you want to speak now?
Okay, she's referring to zoning zone 2, which the lot is just really too small for the type of business she's trying to put into that lot, okay? She's trying to put a temporary building into that lot. It's really a trailer house or a job shack, okay? It's not a temporary building. There is temporary buildings that can be put up, or different modular buildings, and maybe somebody was told it was going to be a modular building, but I don't think it is a modular building. The C2, from what I understand and talking to people, and I don't know who's approved anything or did anything or it's been approved, but C2 has a minimal lot size on a corner, which Ackerman and Landis would be considered a corner, has a minimal of 13,500 square feet. That lot on the tax rolls is somewhere around 8,400 square feet, okay? If you even considered making it an internal lot, because Landis is considered a private road, then the internal lot minimal size is going to be 10,500 square feet. So that being said, also in the commercial C2 district, the minimal lot depth is supposed to be, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 100 feet. No, 150 feet. C1 is 100 feet, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, the minimal lot depth on this is 70 feet right now. The actual is 70. The minimal is supposed to be 150. So everything that I read for C2, that this piece of property is just too small for any type of C2 business to be there. And even if you try to twist it around to C1, it's not C1 at all. And C1, if you're gonna do, I think C1 does allow non-retail business in there, but if it's gonna be a retail business in C2, it has to have a permit, special permit, and I think her type of business is not considered a retail business, okay? So those things keep that type of business from going onto that piece of property. That's just a few of the things that I think, I kind of feel sorry for somebody that got taken advantage of by trying to put something in there and do a legitimate business and everything, but the lot is too small. And as well as that person that is probably trying to finance or carry the note on this piece of property didn't disclose this to this person. I think she needs to go back and have a conversation with whoever sold that property to them and look at that and see what kind of problem there may be there. But I'm hearing that there's been permits, there's been people okay and everything, and I'm hearing different things from different organizations and different people. So I think it all needs to be re-reviewed and see for sure what we're dealing with, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Jetter. Mark, it would be, I can close now so we can go. speak. All right. At this time, I will close our regular meeting at 8 o'clock. Wow, that's not going to ever happen again. At 8 o'clock, so we can convene into executive session pursuant.
Go ahead and state the date.
Yes, to Texas Government Code Section 551.071 with our attorney on March 12th, 2020. All the time.
Oh, I do too.
It's like this session ended on March 12th, 2020 at 8:37 p.m. No action was taken. I'll reopen our regular meeting at 8:41. Discussion and possible action on 2429 Ackerman Road. I will turn this over to our city manager, and then our attorney will speak.
And Mayor, I would like to just kind of go over one aspect of this problem that was raised by Mr. Jeter in his comments to the council shortly before 8 p.m. The comment was made that the property is zoned C2 and that it doesn't meet the requirements in the ordinance for the size of a property in the C2 zoning district. As part of my preparation for this evening's meeting, I asked the city secretary to provide the zoning information about the property at the corner of Landis and Ackerman Road. And the information that she provided included the following. By ordinance number 449, passed and approved on July 6, 1989, the property on Ackerman Road, fronting on Landis Drive, was rezoned from B1 office to B3 commercial. By ordinance number 89452, the city set certain requirements about area and things of that nature for this property zoned in each of the then zoning districts, which included B1, B2, B3, and I1. By ordinance number 2001-581, passed in 2001, the city council eliminated the B districts. B1, B2, B3 disappeared. And what's in their place is C1 and C2. A property in the old B3 district needed to be, trying to find the exact numbers here. Always takes a minute to find this. But the property as Ms. Pena purchased it, which is approximately 8,800 square feet, was of a size that was permitted in the original zoning district where it was located, when it was first zoned, apparently, which is B1. And for that reason, I do not believe that the use of the property, that the size of the property now precludes her using the property, even though the zoning has changed, because it wasn't Ms. Pena's action that changed the zoning. It was action by the city when neither Ms. Pena nor the predecessor property owners had any voice in that decision, because it was part of an overall rewrite of the zoning ordinance, as opposed to someone coming in and making an application to rezone the property. So my view is that the property is grandfathered under the size and area requirements and setback requirements from the old B1 and B3 districts. The front setback was 25 feet, and the side setback was 10 feet, and I believe those are the same setbacks that now exist in the C2 district. The property owner does need to comply with those setbacks, and the property owner needs to do certain things that, as Ms. Vernon indicated, she will brief the property owner on tomorrow in order to get a utility hookup.
Any discussion? Monique? Okay. So staff will, Monique will actually follow up with the property owner tomorrow and lay out the all of the requirements.
What time do you have to call? I'm going to be real busy tomorrow, but
okay. And you have all the current information? Okay. All right, so more to come on that. We will move to item 8A, requests and announcements by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Grant.
Well, we have the Easter egg hunt coming up on the 8th of April. And believe it or not, we're gonna try to do 5,000 eggs. We've got the eggs, we just need the candy. So if you happen to have a couple of pieces of candy in your back pocket, drop them off at City Hall. But the age range is gonna be from 0 to 12, and we'll have three separate sections, 0 to 6, 9 to 11. I mean, let's see, 0 to 6, 7 to 9, and 10 to 12. And it's free, and we're gonna do it at the Friendship Park. So if you just wanna come down and watch kids run around getting eggs, have at it. We're gonna have a lot of fun. Thank you. I'm sorry?
The Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The Easter Bunny will be there. I know we're all ready for that. Well, hey, what I got. That's it, Mayor. Thank you.
Councilmember Salazar?
No, I don't have anything.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
I don't have anything.
Councilmember Lehman?
I'll pass.
Councilmember Pierce? Right. Thank you, everybody, for coming this evening. March 14th, the breakfast is still on.
Yes.
So 8 to 10:30? 8 to 11? All right, 8 to 10:30, so you won't be late. How's that? The Senior Center will be serving their monthly breakfast, so if you are able to get out and about, please support them. It will be a quiche breakfast with some tater tots and scrambled eggs and fruit juice and coffee and bacon.
When's that, this Saturday?
That is this Saturday, March 14th. Now, this afternoon, I did, as I mentioned previously, I did sit in on a conference call that was at 2 p.m. today. It was a statewide novel coronavirus update call with Governor Abbott. Also speaking was Dr. John Hellerstedt, who's the Commissioner, Department of State Health Services, and Chief Nim Kidd, who is the Chief of the Texas Division of Emergency Management. The conversation started, the meeting started with Governor Abbott stating that foremost that we need to reduce the panic, fear, and uncertainty that all of this is, that's going on. While it is an infectious viral situation, it is not dire at this point, and there are things that we can do daily, things that we probably already do and we just never paid much attention to it, that we do washing hands, those kinds of things. They will be remaining proactive at a state level. They have said that any and all support that local governments need, they're ready to assist in any way possible. What they're doing now basically is possibly, right now, everybody is doing as much possible to contain the additional exposure to the virus. They're saying remain ready for all possibilities, collaborate with all jurisdictions as we navigate through this virus. But the one thing that they did continue to say over and over was do not panic and don't fear it, and that they are ready. So let me give you some numbers. And this is as of 2 p.m. today. And this is, again, this number is ever-changing. But as of 2 p.m. today, there were 23 confirmed cases in Texas. One case in Montgomery County. That doesn't include anybody that is being monitored now, right now at Lackland or that. So these are 23 actual confirmed cases. One case is in Montgomery County, and they're looking to, the point of exposure is unknown at this time, so they understand that it's got to be somehow a community exposure. The other ones they have by where they were, what event they were attending, like the ships and what have you. So there are 104 current individuals being tested in Texas that are under investigation. Now, there is a criteria to be tested for the coronavirus. And what you may ask is that criteria. Well, it has to be under a doctor's order. It's a doctor's recommendation, and it is also a idea of they will do an investigation of this person. So they're basically interviewing this person. The contact you were with, the exposure as far as symptoms, the age, different things. So it's not something that you just go into your doctor's office and say, hey, test me for this. The problem with having readily available testing for just anyone and everyone is the fact that because any virus, like with any virus, it has an incubation period. So someone may go in today, test, and they test negative. However, 5-6 more days later, they may test positive. But if testing too early or without symptomatic and being under that criteria would give everyone a false sense of I don't have it, when in fact they could be spreading the contagion outward. Also what they're looking in, especially in places like Houston area where there's actually some cases, they're trying to figure out, they're centralized in those areas to try to figure out specifically what happened in those areas to make people get infected. So those are things that they're looking, why is it happening there? Where is it surfacing? They are making sure, they're asking all communities to make sure that they revisit their continuity plans. So in the event, I'm going to use municipalities as an example, and even Bexar County. If everybody in your city or if everybody in your public works department came down with the virus, what are you doing to prepare to make sure that your residents have water? The essential functions of your departments. What's happening there? They also said that Bexar County Emergency Management, obviously they are having daily calls. They're actually 7 days a week calls that are available to those organizations where they're meeting every day because, as I mentioned before, these numbers are changing. There's also for PPE, for personal protection equipment, they're instructing organizations that actually do that. So like first responders, they're indicating that they are not to destroy or discard any PPE that has been recently expired. They also are encouraging individuals to go to CDC for the PPE usage of operation. They are also telling individuals, actually entities, to take inventory of all their protection equipment, because at some point, if any entity, whether it be at the county level or at the city level, if any entity is depleted of those supplies in direct relation to a coronavirus outbreak or a coronavirus, just anything surrounding that specifically, they're asking all entities to track costs that are related specifically to that, because when the funding is available, there is a potential recovery to anyone. Right now, it's in Texas. There is cases in Harris or in Houston area. So in that aspect, yes, in Fort Bend. So in that aspect, those individuals would actually be using their PPE for specific cases such as that. The other thing is what I mentioned, the continuity plan. They're telling local levels to continue to reevaluate. Relook at those plans, because when those plans were made, they were done when things were calm. So now that, again, the whole process was do not panic. The state is equipped to handle, and there is information that is going to, or that is available right now to be disseminated to anyone that wants to see it. And we'll post those webs or those links as well. And what can we do to minimize loss of life, target high-risk populations? So that was one of the that was actually something that Governor Abbott asked or answered. So what can we do to minimize loss of life? So currently, the high-risk population, of course, is the immune-compromised group of people and also the elderly. So whereas we don't have a senior living center here or a nursing home or things like that, we do have a senior center. So generally speaking, seniors are going to be visiting or frequenting that area. So again, use basic cleansiness, wash your hands. They actually say washing hands is better than the actual hand sanitizers. This, of course, does work if you're not where you can wash your hands. This obviously is good, but washing hands for 20 seconds when you're washing them is absolutely the best method to control the spread. Large gatherings, as you know, people have heard throughout the week, even as early as today, there are events being canceled. There was a question about, is there a threshold of how many gathering before you should cancel? There is no threshold. Again, they are leaving it to the local level. They said city municipalities such as ourselves should continue to stay in contact with Bexar County Emergency Management because they're actually receiving the direct information from them. If you are in those high-risk in that high-risk pool, I would say, again, just be cautious of where you're going. Don't frequent some place that that may have a lot of travelers, etc. If you have food deliveries, make sure that you know that the people that were delivering the food, where they were at, I guess the volunteers, etc. You just want to continue to make sure that you're following all the normal protocols that you follow now to try to, keep from getting sick. There are two laboratories that are identified to do testing in San Antonio and also Houston, Corpus Christi, Dallas, El Paso, and that would be Quest Diagnostics and LabCorp. They also said that there's a misnomer as far as when everybody says that we don't have any testing kits. Governor Abbott assures everyone on the call. He assured everyone that we that our demand is not outweighing the supply. What the testing kit, Dr. Hellerstadt said that it should be broken down in two things. There is a specimen collection supplies and laboratory testing supplies. The laboratory testing supplies is adequate. That's your cotton swabs, anything that they use to actually get that material. The part of the kit testing and the part that people are talking about we don't have enough is the specimen collection supplies. However, back to that criteria, which is why it makes sense that not everyone would be tested just randomly, being tested just because you had a sore throat or just because you weren't feeling well. There has to meet a specific criteria. Somebody asked, can you get it twice? So they said that, are you immune? Again, that was a question that they couldn't answer. Some people recover from it better than others, but they said it was difficult to measure the antibodies and difficult to test for reoccurrence. But with any virus, if you've had it once, you've probably built up antibodies and you're probably stronger for it. If you are sick, they are asking that you use many services such as a teledoctor. Several insurance companies offer teledoc where you can call a nurse online. or to call your doctor's office first before you actually go in. Have a conversation with the physician's assistant, the RN, the doctor and themselves, just to get that. But what not to do is to please not rush to the emergency room where there's actually emergencies needing, because what's happening right now is there is an influx of people going to emergency rooms, and the medical staff is being overworked, basically trying to attend to the people that are in the waiting room for possibly a common cold, while there's actual emergencies, you know, heart attacks, strokes, gunshots, things that really are constituted as emergencies. So they're asking for those people that feel that they need to get checked out, to please call your doctor first, go to a med clinic if at all possible, but to please not utilize emergency rooms for that reason. Again, focus on making sure to double check essential functions of communities, to make sure that you're being able to provide the basic essential needs for your community. They are basically observing the nationwide response over the last 24 hours, large gatherings canceled. They honestly cannot tell at this point if it's actually helped reduce the spread, because that data is yet to be seen. But distancing yourself is helpful. So again, the handshakes, where people would normally handshake, they're asking you to greet people, just a hey or elbow bump, what have you, just to stop the communicable touching and those kinds of things. Again, I already mentioned the tracking expenses. The other thing was about school closures. So somebody asked, you know, all of these events are being canceled, what about schools? The school districts, the superintendent of every school district has the full capacity and power to cancel school if they chose to. They can absolutely cancel schools. However, Governor Abbott did say that the funding for school districts is obviously based on the attendance of the children, of the students there. As long as the school districts could find a way to have the children at home and be effectively teaching every child the same way. So they could do Skype, but that would mean that every child would have to have the ability to learn that way. If a packet was sent home, they would have to absolutely have a packet for every child to take home, so that every child has the same opportunity to continue learning while school was being postponed or out. The other thing was, there was a question about, and I would think it would be almost similar to Meals on Wheels and those kinds of programs for children, because they were saying impoverished areas that some of the students, maybe the meal at school is the only meal that they would get all day. So they said that there is funding for that. So in the event that a school closed, they would still be able to offer those programs, and the school districts would be able to potentially request money back for the additional cost of getting the food not to them. Not, of course, the program, because the program's already in place, but the additional cost that it would be to get them the food that they needed. Because that was another thing high on their list, was to make sure that no services that the public received through the public school system, that part wasn't negated in any form or fashion. It does spread like the common flu. That was one of the things, by contact. And it said, be prepared for the probability and certainty that it is coming to your jurisdiction. So basically, Bexar County, people are coming in and out. You have visitors at your home that could have gone and touched something. So they're just saying, be prepared. But again, they're telling and reminding everyone that do not panic, do not fear it, don't go crazy. They were talking about, you know, people that are going to the stores and buying up everything. That's not helping your economy, that's not helping your neighbor. It's only causing panic when you go to the shelf and you're trying to get a necessity like toilet paper or paper towels, and everything is gone, and you see signs. And so they're telling people don't, but definitely help your neighbor, and just stay vigilant of your normal practices of being clean. they were actually asking, somebody asked if in fact you actually had a full exposure, would Texas be ready? And they absolutely said Texas was ready for anything that it had to throw after, that they have plenty of people in place. They have a high protocol for disasters, whether it be a hurricane, flood, what have you. There was something else about, that was the other thing. Chief Kidd also said that if anybody in a community was having difficulty taking care of their basic needs of their community, if in the event that a coronavirus outbreak happened and the communities found that the state and federal government were prohibiting them from taking care of their own communities, that we were to call his office directly so that they could be the middleman between that. Because the last thing that would happen, that they would want to happen, is that the municipalities or even the counties were affected by state and federal mandates that made it almost impossible for counties and municipalities to get the help they needed. The other thing was communicate, communicate, communicate. So any information that's disseminated, they're immediately putting online. They said that CDC is a good resource, but again, Bexar County Management, Emergency Management, and also the websites at, and again, we'll get these out. It was at the DFHS, state.texas.us coronavirus. They said that we're gearing up and we're being ready, that we'll be ready. There was some other notes that were done by someone else. Be prepared but not scared. Basically is, again, be prepared but not panic. So that's basically the communication from them. Hygiene, simple good hygiene was the top advice given by the medical professionals dealing with the virus on the front lines. Washing hands and surfaces is key to limiting its spread. Again, back to the hand sanitizers, all of the medical professionals agree that washing hands with soap and water is superior to sanitizers, though sanitizer is, of course, preferable to nothing. So, again, the state is ready, the county's ready. Just continue to exercise hygiene and know where you're at. There's elections coming, so I would advise the people running for office that instead of kissing babies and shaking hands, maybe you just talk to each other and, you know, don't greet people with a handshake, and just let them know that you're running for office, et cetera, because that was something that they talked about in an election year. But again, those were the statistics as of 2:00 today. Maybe they've changed now. But again, be prepared and not scared. So, and adjourn.